Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 5, Text 10. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah. Lipyate na sapapena. Padma patram evam bhasa. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah. Lipyate na sapapena. Padma patram evam bhasa. Brahmanyadhaya karmani. Sangam tyaktva karoti yah. Lipyate na sapapena. Padma patram evam bhasa. Translation. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. Purport. Here, Brahmani means in Krishna consciousness. You can see dozens of translations of Bhagavad Gita. There may be other Vaishnava commentators who... There aren't, that's the point, there aren't many Vaishnava commentators, but this is the thing which will make these non-devotee scholars angry. Why Krishna consciousness? Because here Brahmani means in Krishna consciousness. The material world is a sum total manifestation of the three modes of material nature, technically called the Pradhan. The Vedic hymns, Sarvang Hietad Brahma, Mandukya Upanishad, Tasmad Etad Brahmanama Rupam Anancha Jayate, this is from Mundaka Upanishad. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Yonir Mahad Brahma, indicate that everything in the material world is a manifestation of Brahman. And although the effects are differently manifested, they are non-different from the cause. In the Isho Upanishad, it is said that everything is related to the Supreme Brahman, or Krishna, and thus everything belongs to him only. One who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that therefore everything is engaged in the service of the Lord, naturally has nothing to do with the results of his activities, whether virtuous or sinful. Even one's material body, being a gift of the Lord for carrying out a particular type of action, can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. It is then beyond contamination by sinful reactions, exactly as the lotus leaf, though remaining in the water, is not wet. The Lord also says in the Gita, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Sanyasya, resign all works unto me, Krishna. The conclusion is that a person without Krishna consciousness acts according to the concept of the material body and senses, but a person in Krishna consciousness acts according to the knowledge that the body is the property of Krishna, and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. What is Krishna consciousness? Here, Srila Prabhupada gives the indication at the end of this purport. A person in Krishna consciousness acts according to the knowledge that the body is the property of Krishna, and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. So, Krishna consciousness can be said to be action according to the knowledge that the body is the property of Krishna and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. Now, we may say that this is repetitive. In one sense it is, but Srila Prabhupada taking the verse, giving the understanding of the verse, the purport, it's repetitive in as much as it comes to the same conclusion again and again and again. That whatever Krishna is saying, this is the point, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Whatever Krishna says, he discusses karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, the demigods, the nature of the suffering in this material world, the five principal subjects are Ishvara, Jiva, Karma, Kala, and Prakriti. So the various subjects are discussed, but Srila Prabhupada shows how the purport of all of them is that one should act according to the knowledge that the body is the property of Krishna and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's a that's Krishna consciousness. That's the underpinning of living in this world, acting in Krishna consciousness, which is what Krishna taught Arjuna. To live in this world and act in Krishna consciousness. How can one act in Krishna consciousness? Well, first of all, one has to understand that everything is Krishna's. I'm also Krishna's. Therefore, I have to act in the service of Krishna. And our best welfare will be done for us and for everyone else. Arjuna is very interested in... First of all, he started off by saying that, well, I won't be happy if I fight. But then he changed to, well, and it'll be very bad for all of human society also. Generally, materialistic people, they're trying to argue something and they say, well, I think this, and they put arguments in their own favor and then it doesn't look too good. So they say, well, actually, it's good for everyone. It's not really that I'm doing it for myself. I'm interested in everyone. And you should elect me as the politician in this area. And I'll fill up my pockets. Oh, no, it'll be good for all of you. So they like to show like that. But Krishna is showing that Krishna consciousness is good for the individual and it's good for everyone else. Whereas if we don't act in Krishna consciousness, we can't benefit ourselves, and we can't benefit others, actually we'll do harm to them. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out on the strength of the statement in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Amando Dayam Daya, that people who have the idea of working for the benefit of others, they do so, but actually they do harm to them. And he actually said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur analyzed, that this business of opening hospitals and schools and eye camps and feeding the poor and all this kind of thing, it actually does harm to others. It doesn't do them good. Because it reinforces the idea that there can be, that this world is a nice place and we're here to enjoy it. And it directs attention away from the real purpose of human life, which is to understand Krishna. So, although we may say the teachings in Bhagavad Gita are very basic, but that is required to get a good foundation. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the example, a worker, he was mixing the cement, going on and on. If you mix it more, it's supposed to become stronger later. And someone said to him that, come on, you're mixing it too much. And the worker became angry, and from his trowel he threw some cement at him. He missed, and it hit the wall, and then it just remained on the wall, and it became so strong that no one could take it off. So he gave the idea of having having a strong basis, taking time to make a strong basis. Otherwise, if one tries to go up and up and up, but there's no strong basis, then it's like building a house on sand. You probably have that saying in your languages. It's because it's the same principle for building houses all over the world. You have to have a strong foundation. Otherwise, the bigger you build a house on a weak foundation, you may think, well, it's a very big house, it's very wonderful. But the bigger you build it, the more dangerous it is, and the quicker it will collapse, and the bigger the calamity will be. For a kacha house that you build just with some straw and split bamboo, chatai, you can just put up a house in half a day, such a house. You don't need any foundation. It's not expected to last very long anyway. You can rebuild it again cheaply and quickly, any time. It doesn't need a big foundation. But if you're going to build a big palace, then the first thing to see to is that the foundation has to be good. Otherwise, you get cracks in the walls, and eventually, or quickly, the whole thing. It may look good, usually doesn't look very good, but it doesn't last very long. So, some more. In the verse of the next purport, this the next verse is chapter 5, text 11. That's practically, that is the motto for sannyas. Sannyas means tridanda, engaging mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. Well, here there's another threesome. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalaya indriya rapi yogina karma korvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. The yogi is abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. So purification is spoken of, Krishna speaks of in a general way, and Srila Prabhupada begins the purport, when one acts in Krishna consciousness, for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, any action, whether of the body, mind, intelligence, or even the senses, is purified of material contamination. In other words, you may say, well, it says purification, it doesn't say Krishna consciousness. Well, purification means Krishna consciousness. So it's perfectly legitimate to explain this in terms of Krishna consciousness, and it's illegitimate to do so otherwise, or at least it's not fully legitimate. Even the senses. We may think, well, the senses, they drag us to hell. Jibe pele bishoya shagore. That we're saying that the senses drag us, or throw us actually. That sharira vidyaral jarendriya tahe kal. Jibe pele bishoya. So the body is a net of avidya, ignorance. Actually, the term avidya is translated as ignorance, and it gives the idea of non-knowledge, but it's more than non-knowledge, because on the platform of not knowing Krishna, we build a whole edifice of wrong ideas. So it's not just an absence of knowledge, of a proper knowledge, but it's a whole massive conglomerate of wrong ideas. And jarendriya tahe kal. Kal means time, obviously. But it also means death. Kala sarpa. The snake of death. So the mundane senses are like death. But jive phile vishaya sagare, and it's these the the body and the senses, they throw us into the ocean of sensual enjoyment. So you may see the senses are very, very dangerous, but indriyayarapi, even the yogis use even the senses for purification. Not exactly stop. There's the idea of stopping the senses, but so, I mean, you can read the whole purport, but just I'll read part of it. Srila Prabhupada quotes, Iha yasya harer dasye karamana manasa gira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna. Karmana manasa gira. There you have the three points for the tridandi. With his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. He has no false ego, for he does not believe that he is the material body or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not this body and that this body does not belong to him. So it's practically the same thing that Prabhupada just said in the previous purport, just a few words ago. When he applies everything produced of the body, mind, intelligence, words, life, wealth, etc., whatever he may have within his possession, to Krishna's service, he is at once dovetailed with Krishna. He is one with Krishna and is devoid of the false ego that leads one to believe that he is the body, etc. This is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, I read from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 2, text 71 purport, in which Srila Prabhupada wrote, "To understand one's actual position as the eternal servitor of Krishna without falsely claiming this material body to be oneself and without falsely claiming proprietorship over anything in the world is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness." And here, Srila Prabhupada writes that something else is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness, but it's not something else. It's different aspects of the same consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious that everything belongs to Krishna. I am meant for serving Krishna. I belong to Krishna. What I think is my body, manasa deho geho jo kichu mo apilunto apade nandakisho. Whatever I think is mine, Krishna's given me a little independence. I can use it under the illusion of thinking that kartaham, I am the doer, ishvaroham, aham bhogi, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. But Krishna consciousness means to give up this false ego of thinking in this way and to understand that all of these things which Krishna has given me, they don't actually belong to me, but we conventionally say my body, my intelligence, and so on. They're all to be utilized in the service of Krishna. This is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. We may say, well, I thought the perfect stage was dancing with the gopis and Krishna in Vrindavan. But what Srila Prabhupada has described here is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. And that means that it's no longer one who's on this platform is not contaminated by misconceptions such as karma and jnana, that by I can elevate myself or improve myself by karma, or I can enjoy this world by karma, or the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness means not to be contaminated by the jnana, to think that by my simply by discriminating vivek, I can understand what is right and wrong, what is truth and falsehood, and in this way become liberated from this material world. So when one is free from such propensities and acts in the service of Krishna favorably for Krishna's pleasure, and without any other desire, or without cultivating any other desire, This is anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. This is the perfect stage. And then from that stage, one can, one will enter one's actual direct relationship with Krishna, But as long as one is not in this perfect stage of Krishna consciousness, as long as one maintains some hope of enjoying in this material world, or of some idea that I want to be liberated from this material world, then one is not fit to go to any higher stage. So this is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. Again, chapter 5, verse 20. And actually there are many other statements. Practically the whole book is... the whole of Bhagavad Gita as it is about Krishna consciousness. But just some selections here. Srila Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, text 20, purport, this knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So here Srila Prabhupada equates steady consciousness with Krishna consciousness. Steady particularly in understanding the science of the Absolute Truth as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This statement of Srila Prabhupada's, it parallels that of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. That by knowing the science of God, which in this section of Bhagavatam has the science of God is described, or the knowledge of God. Vedanti tattvavidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. What is the nature of the advaya jnan, that one ultimate reality, that one ultimate reality is understood as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan by different seers of the truth. So to know this, and of course to know that although Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are the same, but to know that our eternal relationship is with Bhagavan, not with Brahman, or even with Paramatma. So one who knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects, because some people, they understand Brahman, or they have an incomplete understanding of Brahman. Incomplete because they don't accept Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The basis of the impersonal Brahman is Krishna. They may want to become one with the Supreme. But real Brahman realization, Srila Prabhupada writes here, is knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Such a person thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well without falsely trying to become with the Supreme in all respects. So here, the term self-realization the completeness of that term is Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness means self-realization, steady consciousness. It's a hard life. So, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29. What is that verse? Very well-known verse, don't you say, please? Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mang shantam richati. So from the very verse, we can understand another aspect of understanding what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to understand, or at the very least to theoretically accept, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And Krishna here specifically mentions the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities. That Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all the planets, and that Krishna is the best friend of every living being. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, this is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme denominator. Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. So, major point to understand. Predominator means he's in charge. It's a very good word because it gives the. Of course, it's not at all a common word. You won't find it in common English. Predominator. Predominator is a fairly common word, but predominator, you won't find it very often. But it gives the sense both of being the supreme controller, the supreme powerful, and of being the supreme enjoyer. So it combines two concepts. So there's no real Krishna consciousness without understanding this. And then Suhridam, he's so big, he's so powerful, he's the enjoyer, but he's also very close, the best friend. So the Suhridam, that is that may be an unexpected third statement of Krishna's. I'm all powerful. I am the enjoyer. Whew. Okay. All right. He's so great. But I'm also the best friend of everyone. Oh, that's very nice. It seems to be contradictory. Krishna's down to earth. He's way, way, way up above us, and he's also right next to us and with us. Going into chapter 6, text 10, purport. Krishna consciousness means concisely to be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. There you are, concisely. To always be engaged in the transcendental loving service. Transcendental loving service of the Lord. It's a phrase which Srila Prabhupada often uses, which really, it's concise. It sums up everything. Transcendental loving service of the Lord means that one has knowledge that he is the Lord, he's the predominator, therefore one should serve him, that service should be loving, and it should be transcendental also. That means not haitukya pratihata, without any personal desire for gain, not part-time, but always, at every moment. So all these factors have to be there. It has to be transcendental, not done for any personal gain, including not for liberation, only for Krishna's pleasure. So concisely, all the Vedas are summed up in this statement that Krishna consciousness means concisely to be always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Everything that Vyasadeva gave, all the acharyas have given, everything is included there. There, then, chapter 6, text 15, purport. A person working in Krishna consciousness is the perfect yogi because his mind is always absorbed in Krishna's activities. Savai mana. Krishna Padaravindayo. So Krishna consciousness is the perfect yoga. You may think, well, we heard all this, all so many things about Krishna consciousness, but I'm interested in yoga. Someone may come with that angle. Then you're interested in yoga, you want to be a yogi? Okay. The best yogi, Krishna says, at the end of this chapter, the famous verse, yogi nam api sarvesham madgatena antara mana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. He describes the best yogi. Among all the yogis, Krishna says, one who has given his very self to me, who is linked up with me in the heart, and with faith worships me, he, Krishna says, is the best of all yogis, in my opinion, Krishna says. And Krishna's opinion means it's a fact. So we may think, well, I'm a devotee, I must be the best yogi. But then again, Krishna says, Shraddhavan. It's not just a matter of claiming oneself to be a devotee, but one's faith. Now you may say, well, either one has faith or he doesn't. Either you believe in God or you don't, or you could be an agnostic. But even if one believes or accepts that Krishna is the supreme, still there are levels of faith. Shraddhavanjan hoy bhakti adhikari uttam madhyam karnishta shraddha anusari. One who has faith is eligible to enter devotion, to perform devotional service, to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And one is engaged as a topmost devotee, middle-level devotee, or neophyte devotee, according to one's level of faith. So there can be levels of faith also. One may have faith, but not very deep or strong. Jaha komal shraddha shekanishta jan. One is called a kanishta adhikari. It means he has the right, or he has the opportunity to perform devotional service, but his faith is soft and pliable. So he has faith, but it's not so very strong. So Krishna consciousness here is described is that one should have his mind always absorbed in Krishna's activities. Now, Krishna's activities can mean his pastimes, as described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, for instance. And also Krishna's activities can mean the activities that we perform here in the world to serve Krishna. So either way, one's mind should be engaged in such activities. And that is Krishna consciousness, according to this statement of Bhagavad Gita. Then in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 626, Srila Prabhupada states, serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. So one may be serving Krishna, but the senses are not yet completely purified. So that's also Krishna consciousness, but real Krishna consciousness means nirmalam, without any contamination. Sarvo padhivi nirmuktam tat parapena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So, nirmalam, without any contamination of material existence. So according to the purport and the context, sometimes Srila Prabhupada emphasizes different aspects of Krishna consciousness. And the overall result is that as we go through Bhagavad Gita as it is, we study it, we hear it, and then it becomes deeply embedded in our consciousness. There's some idea some statement was made recently which caused a bit of an uproar, that Prabhupada's books aren't systematic, as if that's some kind of fault. But it is the standard method of presentation of Shastra that You see, in systematic education, you take one point, then you go to the next point, then the next point, the next point, the next point. This is common in the modern system of education. And you may do revision, but basically you take one point, then you understand another point, and then you build up more and more points gradually. But Srila Prabhupada's spiritual message as given in Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's not exactly like that. There are a few points which he takes and he examines again and again and again in different ways, so that by studying this Bhagavad Gita as it is and by discussing with other devotees about it, one gets a very comprehensive and solid understanding, not just some theoretical knowledge. So, in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, there's a systematic endeavor to bring home or to awaken in the minds of the reader and of the student what is the actual message of Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna consciousness. So the same things may be said, or very similar things may be said again and again and again. But the idea is that we get a very, very solid basis in our Krishna consciousness, not just theoretical. Then, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 30. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance, he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So I'll read those last two lines again. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So basic. Why did you come out here to the farm? Why did you come away from all the action and all the fun and all the energy, away from the cities? Because we want to cultivate this sense of Krishna consciousness, that nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So it's the basic principle, and also stated in a somewhat different way, it's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So there's just a few quotes from the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and there are many, many others throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. Again and again and again, he'll state the same point in a somewhat different way so that we can get an all-round, very comprehensive understanding of what we're aiming at, which is Krishna consciousness. To be Krishna conscious, we have to understand what it is. So we can do so from Srila Prabhupada's books. And of course, discussing with other devotees and putting this into practice in our lives. Okay. Any question about this, please? All very straightforward, huh? As Srila Tribhuvanath Prabhu, one of my departed godbrothers, said, that Srila Prabhupada had said that Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. Oh, that's very simple. Ah, so leave it. But it's like that you have to put petrol in the car. Oh, that's very simple. Just leave it. And then the car doesn't work. 2 + 2 = 4. Ah, that's very simple. We won't bother with that. We'll just go on to higher mathematics. But without knowing the basic arithmetic, you can do your calculus, but it'll all come out wrong. which used to happen to me when I was given these complex, well, it seemed to me quite complex at the time, these calculus riddles to solve, and you go through three or four pages of, within that there's algebra and this and that, and I come out with the wrong result, and I have to go back, because somewhere I tended to make mistakes in the algebra, which means in the arithmetic. Algebra is based on arithmetic, so just some simple, get all the complex calculus all worked out. I understood the theory of that, but because I sometimes used to make mistakes in simple arithmetic, therefore I'd get it, the result would be wrong, which would be a disaster if, for instance, you wanted to build a bridge and you got your calculations wrong. You say, well, I understand all the system, and I say I'm an expert in calculus, but you got your arithmetic wrong, and therefore the bridge collapses. So you have to get the basics right. Then everything else can come very nicely. Hare Krishna! So what is Krishna consciousness? Anyone like to say? Just going through three mornings of discussing what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to stay awake in the class. Maybe that's one reason why nowadays in the classes there are jokes and storytelling. It's a desperate attempt to somehow or other keep the devotees awake, if there's anyone there in the class at all. Because if you don't tell stories and tell jokes, then no one bothers to go, it's one of those boring philosophy classes again. But, oh, someone's coming, you tell stories and tells jokes, great, let's go. Should be fun. But Srila Prabhupada's presentation, it's very grave throughout his books. It's not... Srila Prabhupada's books are certainly guru-vani, heavy, heavy topics. Not laghu, not light. Okay, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just said to Narayan Prabhu this morning, I'm supposed to leave later this morning. I'd be quite happy to stay here, actually. I don't really want to go at all. Of course, I'll be happy to meet the devotees in the other places I'm going to. I'll be Bhopal this evening, and then on Saturday to Baroda, and then Sunday to the farm there near in Gujarat, another farm. I'll just be there for 2 days. And then on to Vrindavan for 2 or 3 days, then to Govardhan, then to... what's that called? Capital region, greater capital. I mean Delhi, Faridabad, and all these places. Then to Mayapur. I'll be there for something, 2 weeks or something. Then to Bhimavaram. Are you all planning to go there for the Rath Yatra, upcoming Rath Yatra? Yeah. Okay, so I look forward to seeing you there, Krishna willing. Plan to be there, Kunja Bihari? You're going to sing Damodar Ashtakam there? Can sing it without seeing the book? I can't do that after all these years. I never know. He's got a young boy, good brain. Use it for Krishna. Hare Krishna. We have some prasadam here. This is for breaking the fast. You've all been following terrific austerities by not taking grains and beans for 1 day.